Good afternoon now. May it please the court, my name is Todd Ritter. I represent the appellant Quindell Kirby. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
That'll be granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. And this is a matter that arises from the Chesterfield Circuit Court. Mr. Kirby has appealed his convictions for second-degree murder and use of a firearm in commission of that murder.
Let me just ask the question that seems to me to summarize in a nutshell this entire issue. Why doesn't Code Section 19.2250 dispose of this entire venue issue?
Because 19.2-250 addresses a different issue. It addresses, I would argue...
Well, it addresses the authority of the courts of Chesterfield County and basically extends their authority into the city of Richmond to the tune of about a mile. And this, there's no dispute that this was somewhat less than that, so...
That's correct. This is a very clean case for the court on the issue of venue, because we have undoubtedly, I think by agreement, a homicide that took place in a jurisdiction where we don't know, whether that be Chesterfield or Richmond, the city of Petersburg, Colonial Heights, or anything in between.
Well, we're construing two statutes here. One which basically says if you don't know where the murder occurred, there's a presumption that it occurred where the body is found. The body is clearly not found in Chesterfield County where the case was tried. It was found in the city of Richmond.
Correct.
All things being equal, that would certainly deprive Chesterfield County Circuit Court of any jurisdiction to try the case. However, we've got this statute which says, oh, not so fast. You know, within a mile of into the city of Richmond, of the limit between the boundary between Chesterfield and the city of Richmond, the Chesterfield County Circuit Courts or courts do have jurisdiction to hear cases. So I just, again, my question is, why isn't that the end of the analysis?
Well, I think that there's a distinction that the court has to recognize between an offense which is committed within a given location. I think in the brief I allowed, if the Commonwealth had been able to show that the crime itself was committed within that area in the city of Richmond, but within 1 mile of the Chesterfield border, you could possibly use 19.2250 to say that the prosecution was appropriate there. But that's where the offense was committed. We have a circumstance now where we don't know where the offense was committed at all. All we have is evidence that is found, albeit the body, a primary agent of evidence, but it's...
Well, we have to harmonize two statutes here. I mean, to the extent that if there's a conflict, we have to harmonize, and that's our
one of the principles of construction, certainly, is the court harmonizes statutes. What we have a problem with is that the court harmonizing the statutes, if you will, in a way that expands prosecutorial authority. And that, I think, runs afoul of another, perhaps more important, candidate
well,
of construction.
What's the purpose of 250, the 19.2250 then?
It would allow for prosecution of a crime by Chesterfield, or at least the police to have authority within that limited 1 mile area. If you look at the statutes 19.2247 and 19.2250, you'll be struck that they use different language. The language in 19.2247, remarkably elegant and simple, says essentially where you have a homicide offense that's committed, whether it's outside the Commonwealth or inside the Commonwealth, under circumstances where you don't know where it occurred, that the offense shall be amenable to prosecution in the court or courts of the county or city where the body may be found. So that's very clear where the city, in the city, or the county where the body may be found. That is only Richmond in this case. But now look at 19.2250. That language says for criminal offenses involving offenses against the Commonwealth, it uses this phrase, the jurisdiction of the authorities of Chesterfield and Henrico shall extend 1 mile.
But if I take that, your argument to its logical conclusion, it would result in a situation where any crime except murder, location of the murder is unknown, and you have a situation where the body is found, in any other situation, you could prosecute the offense at either place, assuming it was within the 1 mile parameter. But with a murder where the location of the murder is unknown and all you have is the application of the statute which applies to where the body is found, you can't apply that statute to that situation.
Well, it's a unique circumstance for various
reasons.
But
what sense does that make? Why do you think the General Assembly would make it more difficult to prosecute a murder case than say a drunk driving case or a traffic infraction?
Well, with due respect, Judge Humphreys, I don't think that the legislature made it difficult at all. They made it exceedingly simple. They start with the premise that a prosecution is going to take place where the crime was committed, in the county or city where the crime was located. That's 19.2244. They recognize, okay, we're going to have situations like in the case of a homicide, that it may not be susceptible to certain proof where that may occur. And so they provide in 19.2247 a very simple solution. You may prosecute that where in the county or city where the body is found.
But
that is
here's the anomalous situation. Maybe you can figure out how we get there from here. Let's say I commit a, let's say I shoot and kill someone in within 1 mile of Chesterfield County, but on the Richmond side of the line.
Yes.
And everybody watches me do it, okay? Everybody in this courtroom watches me do it. There is no issue about where the murder occurred. It occurred in the city of Richmond. Are you with me?
Yes.
But that could be prosecuted in Chesterfield if it occurred within 1 mile, could it not?
If the court takes the construction that the authorities of the county of Chesterfield includes the courts and not simply the police, yes.
So, but if nobody saw me do it, and it was just a matter of the body being found there, then the opposite situation would prevail, and only Richmond would be the appropriate place for prosecution.
Well, that's true. That would be true, but that would only be because there's a failure of proof as to where the offense was located. But nonetheless, there's a critical distinction between circumstances where the Commonwealth can show where the offense was committed and circumstances where they cannot. And that's why we have the regime of 19.2244 that says, initially, prosecute it where it happens. Secondly, in circumstances where you can't, prosecute it where you find the body. And now the Commonwealth, rather, is seeking yet another expansive layer on top of that, and that is, give us the option to prosecute it in Richmond or in Chesterfield if the body is found within a mile of the border. And again, I think that the simplest solution is just to follow 19.2247 and say venue is appropriate in the city of Richmond. Secondly, that is a construction that doesn't violate the canon, the cardinal canon of construction, that you don't expand criminal statutes beyond their plain meaning.
Well, neither one of these is a criminal statute. They're both procedural in nature, aren't they?
I would argue, with regard to 19.2250, that's certainly debatable because it provides for criminal offenses against the Commonwealth.
I mean, it's not a penal statute. It doesn't provide any sort of penalty or anything like that. It's simply a jurisdictional statute.
Based on where the rule comes from, the canon construction and the rule of lenity, which is rooted in the Constitution, I think it comes from the same. It embraces the same concerns.
Well, we're not required to construe procedural statutes strictly against the Commonwealth. That's why I asked the question.
But this is a statute that expands prosecutorial authority over an individual, and I think for that reason the same value is embraced, and that the court ought not to expand it against.
It seems to me that the seminal case that talks about reading two statutes in concert, particularly when it relates to 19.2-250, is Robertson versus Rogers, which obviously is not a criminal case, and it talked about the fact that you should read two statutes where they both can be given their effect. And basically what you're asking us to do is consider one statute and basically read away the other.
No, we're asking the court to view 19.2250 as a statute which deals with the jurisdiction of the authorities in situations where a criminal offense has occurred within that territory, that boundary zone.
Is there any other than your reading of the statute? I appreciate your very cogent argument, but is there any legal authority case law that says that?
There was no case that I could find that specifically spoke to this situation, and that was a point brought up below, and the Commonwealth wasn't able to produce anything to the trial court either on that particular point. So to an extent, we're writing a bit on a blank slate with the particular application of 19.2250 in this context. So no authority, but again, when you look at the statutory language of 19.2250, and it dealing with the jurisdiction of the authorities, and then you have a more specific situation in 19.2247 where we have specific to a homicide where we don't know where the offense was occurred. It specifies the courts in the county or city where the body may be found, which in this case is Richmond and only Richmond. And in addition, I don't want to, Your Honor asked about the making this a more difficult task for the Commonwealth. Again, I point out that 19.2247 is perfectly easy to follow.
Well, just to follow up on our earlier discussion about statutory construction, it seems to me we've got two construction canons that are possibly in play here. Well, three. First one is, can we harmonize them? If we can, stop, do not pass, go, we're all done. We just harmonize them. If we can't harmonize them, then we have to look at, well, is one more specific and one general, and in which case the specific trumps the general. And then we also look at, well, which came first in time? And here, the general venue statute came first in time and the specific jurisdictional statute came later. So, you know, it seems to me you could make a good argument, well, the specific statute here is the one that applies to the homicides, and the general statute is the one that applies to all criminal jurisdiction. But yet the flip side of that is the general one that applies to jurisdiction is more recent and arguably might trump the other one. So I'm sure Mr. Stoller will have something to say about that, but what do you have to say about it?
Well, I have to say about it is this, and that is that with the 19.2247 is the more specific statute as to homicide. As the court observed, 19.2250 deals with all other criminal cases. I want to inject into that it should deal with offenses that are committed within that region and not areas where there's bodies. So, I mean, 19.2247 is very specific to this situation where we know where the body is, we do not know where the offense was committed. 19.2250 doesn't address that at all. And as for it being more recent, that may be true, but it of course, if the legislature had intended to give this prosecutorial authority, they had the opportunity to lay it out very specifically in 19.2250 and instead relied on this language of expanding the jurisdiction of the authorities of Chesterfield and Henrico counties into Richmond by 1 mile. So,
Counsel,
yes.
Just to be clear, I want to make sure I understand part of your argument, and that is that if the shooting occurred within the 1 mile, and people saw it in Chesterfield, you would not dispute application of 19.2250.
The only dispute I would have is then I would call on the court to construe that phrase, authorities of Chesterfield County. Does that include the courts, or is this merely a statute that deals with the police authority to extend their investigations within 1 mile? So that would be, assuming that the court ruled against me on that, then yes, I would agree.
Okay, but is your position that it doesn't apply or does apply to cases, to murder cases, and the jurisdiction of the court?
Where 19.2247 is the applicable statute. That is the statute that applies and controls in cases like this, where we don't know where the offense was committed. So in Your Honor's circumstance, we know the offense was committed at that location. In this circumstance, we don't know whether the homicide itself occurred in Petersburg or Colonial Heights or anywhere. We just know that the body was found in that 1 mile boundary zone. And that's a different circumstance. And so it's not that, I don't know that the court has to wrestle very much with harmonizing or trying to cobble these two statutes together in order to come up with the conclusion that the jurisdiction was appropriate in Chesterfield, but rather simply look at the more specific statute of 19.2247 and see that that lays out very clearly that Richmond is an appropriate venue for the prosecution of this crime, And again, we're talking about something that's easily susceptible to definite determination, where is the body found? So we're not putting an undue burden on the Commonwealth. I see that my time is up.
Mr. Ritter, we,
yes.
Judge Decker and I made you use up a lot of your rebuttal time, so I'm going to give you 2 minutes in rebuttal anyway. So
Thank you, Judge.
This is an important issue we need to resolve. So, Mr. Stoller?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Kirk Stoller on behalf of the Commonwealth.
Your Honor, to address your earlier questions, I think regarding statutory construction, I think we stop at the beginning, which is the two statutes are in harmony. There really is no conflict in the statutes. And I think the biggest oversight in the argument from Mr. Kirby is that unlike 19.2.249, 19.2.250 does not have a requirement that the crime occur within 1 mile. 19.2.249, the General Assembly said any crime occurring within 300 yards of the border can be tried either place. There's no such restricting language in 250. It clearly is an implication that within 1 mile into the city, the Chesterfield County has concurrent venue jurisdiction, however the court wants to phrase it, to do whatever the city could have done within that mile. As a result, there is no direct conflict. The city obviously had venue. That's where the body was found. Chesterfield County had venue because it's within the 1 mile of the border. They had the authority granted to it by the General Assembly to do that. As such, there's no real conflict. Either place would have been viable options. Either place would have been a strong presumption for venue. As a result, either locality would have been able to try the case. In this case, Chesterfield County did not err, and I'm finding that it did, in fact, have venue in this case.
Counsel, what's your response to the point that 250, you're sort of trying to put a round peg in a square hole when it comes to application of it to actually a criminal proceeding, such as a murder?
I'm not sure if I understand your question.
Well, I guess the argument of the appellant is essentially that 247 is very clear in terms of it being a venue statute. 250, not so much in terms of application to a murder where you're not sure where it was actually committed.
Well, as far as it being a venue statute, I know it's not dispositive, but it's found within the venue section of the criminal code. It's using the word jurisdiction clearly in context of territorial jurisdiction. I think it's clearly meant to be a venue statute. Whether it applies to the scenario before us, I think is also equally clear. Again, because 250 doesn't have the requirement that the crime occurred within the 1 mile. It's just saying that the authorities of Chesterfield extends 1 mile into the city, and the body was found within the confines of that 1 mile. In fact, it was 160 feet away from the Chesterfield County border. I think given those scenarios, it's, for lack of a better phrase, it's assuming or presumption or deemed, if you will, that the body was technically found within the jurisdiction of Chesterfield County because it's within that 1 mile where the authorities extend to. So it's actually an application of 247 and 250 at the same time. It gets us to where we have two localities that both have equal shots, if you will, at venue. Chesterfield County was one of those. They had proper venue. It sounds more confusing than I think it actually is. I think it's a fairly straightforward analysis. 240 says this is where you find the body. The body's found within 1 mile of Chesterfield. That means Chesterfield has authority under 250.
Well, I mean, there are a number of venue options that the code provides that give the prosecutor discretion to take it to, you know, multiple jurisdictions.
19.2.248, motor wounds inflicted in one place, the person actually dies in another. You can choose which place you'd like to try the case. There's any number of options given to prosecutors, and especially in a murder case. In this one, for whatever reason, the General Assembly gave specific authority to both Chesterfield and Henrico to extend 1 mile into the city of Richmond. Here, Chesterfield was within 1 mile. Chesterfield had the authority to have venue, and they exercised that appropriately.
You want to try and go down the road, if we don't buy your argument about the harmonizing of the statutes, whether the first in time trumps the more specific?
Well, there's just, again, a lot going on in the venue statutes. I think if we go further down the road, I would still say that even if 247 is the more specific, we still have the issue with 250 doing the same thing, because once you say Richmond has venue because the body was found where it was, that's the same reason Chesterfield would have venue, because that's where the body was found, within the 1 mile. There just really isn't one necessarily more specific than the other as far as that goes, because Chesterfield, while it doesn't relate to any specific crime, it does relate to how you get venue. 247 gives venue because of where the body's found. 250 gives us venue because of where the body was found. So it's essentially the same analysis, it's just which statute you're going to do. And even if you do one of them first versus the other one, you're still thinking to end up with both options being viable for venue. So, and again, unlike 249, there's no requirement that crime actually occurred there, which is why I think 250 was the correct analysis in this case.
Thank you, Mr. Ritter.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Ritter, you have 2 minutes.
I'll wait.
Oh, well, I was too generous. Thank you, counsel. We'll come down to Greek counsel and then take up the last matter on the docket, which is a